Amen. Before we move on, like I said, we just have the men's thing coming up. Our ladies just went to a special conference, and I know that they made it back safe, but we have a few of them here today. Does anyone, I know Tiffany loves to speak in front of people. She just is just always looking for those opportunities, but not to embarrass them, and you don't have to. You can ask them on your own. Go up individually and just ask them to tell you. But anyone want to share anything openly? I don't see anyone jumping to their feet. But talk to them after service and just see what God did in their life and maybe ask them what special thing they need to know. And they'll share that with you. But we're glad that they made it back to us. Amen. We are talking about all in. As I mentioned earlier, I believe that we are at a place in history, and we have been growing closer to that with every year. And maybe you say, well, we've heard that all my life, and we've always heard that Jesus is coming back soon, and we're coming into the last times. But I am telling you, as we see more and more things happen, and like the Bible says, even in the Old Testament, it said, for those of you that think that God is not coming, you've said that we've always heard this and nothing's ever happened. And this was back in the Old Testament. He said, let me tell you, today you are closer than you were the day before. So I don't care whether you've heard it all your life or you don't think anything's happened, you've become grown complacent. I want to tell you that I believe today we are closer than we were yesterday. And we've got to begin to open our eyes and wake up to the call of God. When we see the things that are happening around the world, we see the instances of Russia beginning to open a military base in Iran, the images of Gog and Magog that are spoken of in Ezekiel are beginning to come into focus. We're seeing more and more things become possible than ever were before. Discoveries in Jerusalem, on the Temple Mount even, are beginning to open up prophecies that are happening like never before. And we don't know when it's going to happen, but I am telling you, I believe that the Spirit is quickening our hearts, that we need to become ready, that we need to become quickened. If the early church during that time needed to be ready, then we even more so need to be ready. We need to be those that begin to make a decision. Because there is a decision that needs to be made. Either we are going to be on the Lord's side, or we are going to be the pretenders. Those that play church. Those that go through the motion. Those that have an outward appearance of religiosity and spirituality, but have no power. We have no relationship. We know that Jesus said that I'm going to come one day, and there's going to be those that stand before me and say, oh, look, we've always believed in you. And we've done great things for you. And he's going to say, depart from me because I never knew you. Yes, you honored me with your lips, but your hearts were far from me. I think there's a lot of us that we honor God with our lips, but our hearts have deceived even us. And I think this is a time where God is here to convict us, that we need to be willing to be convicted and to be opened up and to be willing to admit that I have been complacent, that I need to make a decision to become all in. And so this is our message for the next few weeks, that we are standing like that picture. This picture just kind of grabbed my heart, because can you imagine standing on a high diving board? And especially not just a regular one, but one of those big 30-meter ones like in the Olympics. And we used to have one at the high school, at Central. They don't have it anymore, but it was a high dive. It was not the full 30 meters, but it was like a good 50 feet. And I remember standing on the edge, and you're like, ooh, I don't want to take that step. You know, from the bottom, it doesn't look too high, but when you get up there, that water is a long ways away. And yet, I believe we're standing in a symbolic way in our spiritual life. We are standing on the edge. And God says if we are going to win the medal, if we are going to experience finishing the race, we've got to make the step. Because it's either all in or it's, you might as well turn around and back down the stairs. The most embarrassing thing that we could do is turn around, and I remember those times some of them got up there and like, oh, I just couldn't do it. And you'd have to see them coming back down the stairs, and everyone's laughing, oh, they couldn't make the jump. And yet we as Christians, I believe the church, many of us as the church are standing on the edge, and yet we have been unwilling to make that jump and say, God, I'm going to surrender it all to what you want from me. And so the question is, will we go all in? Will we determine that, God, what you are offering me is worth more than what this world has to offer? God, I believe that you died for me, that you offer me a complete regeneration of my life. But if I'm going to experience that, I've got to step all the way in. I've got to begin to seek you, to turn away from this, the things in this world that call to me, and begin to choose Jesus over everything else. We're not the only ones. It may seem scary. It may seem like in that moment you are the only one, but here's the thing that I want to encourage you, and over the next few weeks, this is how I'm going to encourage you. You are not the first person to have to make this decision. You're not the first person to stand on that diving board on the edge with your toes sticking over with a sinking feeling in your heart, with the beating in your chest, sweats, palpitations. What is it going to cost me to follow Jesus? Many have gone before you. In fact, if you have your Bible, it's not going to be on the screen here today, so you're going to have to turn to your Bibles. There's some Bibles in the pews there if you don't have them. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 32. Hebrews 11 is known as the Heroes of the Faith chapter. It is an exposition of those that, just like us, they have stood on the edge. And these were not great people. These were not any special people. They were not born with some special faith within them that God made them. You know what? They were normal people like you and me. Some of them were farmers. Some of them were slaves and servants. Some of them were government officials. Some of them just were people like in everyday life. It says in verse 32, "What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, also of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith they subdued kingdoms, and they worked righteousness, and they obtained promises, they stopped the mouth of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, and they escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong. They became valiant in battle, and they turned to flight armies of the aliens. There were women who received the dead raised to life again. And there were others who were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection." That sounds great, but it goes on. It says, "But still others had trial of mockings and scourgings and of chains and imprisonment. Some were stoned, some were sawn in two. Others were tempted and slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute. They were afflicted and they were tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth, because they had no homes. And all of these obtained a good testimony through faith. And yet they did not receive the final promise, because God has provided something better for all of us, that they should not be made perfect before us and separate from us." And verse 1 of chapter 12 says, "Therefore, when we look at what they did, that they went all in, they paid the price, and some of them had great victories, but some of them had to live the rest of their life in sorrows. So therefore, because of what they did to encourage us, they showed us the way. Therefore, we also who are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. What is the weight? It's the things that we long for. It's the desires of this world. It's the things that look so good. It's the possibilities that the world holds in front of us. It says you need to let go of that. And you need to let go of the sin. Those desires in our flesh, that sinful nature. Because both of these so easily ensnare us. And when we lay those aside, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So God says we are at a place of decision. We need to lay aside those things that hold us back. We need to lay aside those things that we're afraid of losing. And then we need to begin to run. And in this case, we need to dive in and begin to swim and begin to let the Spirit of God carry us. But we've got to cut the bonds and go all in. It is only when we go all in that we are going to see the absolute amazing things of God. You know, there's points in history where choices have been made that have set the end and destiny of a people. We even think of our own country. We think of a time back in 1941 where the United States really didn't want to get involved. We would really rather take care of our own stuff, even though Europe was at war. Hitler was moving across the nations and taking over countries. We saw Japan was going throughout the East and dominating the lands at that time, and yet we didn't want to go in. But we know that we were pushed to a point where a decision had to be made. With that fateful day at Pearl Harbor, there was a choice that we had to make. Either we were going to go all in or we were going to get destroyed, because we found out that we couldn't just sit aside. Because in the end, we were going to slowly be destroyed if we did not make a decision. And we know that we went all in. That we made it a choice that as America, we would stand up with the world and say no more. That we are going to stand up for righteousness. And we began to push back. And because of that, the greatest generation it's known as now, that began to pay a price. They paid a price in America and overseas. You can go and look at cemeteries in France where people from America are laid to rest, sons and daughters, those that paid the ultimate price. But it was because they went all in that we can say that we live in a world that is free from the type of evil that was going forward at that time. But then we came to another decision. We move forward to the 60s, where again, we were faced with a decision of war, and this time in Vietnam. But here, we did not have the will to make a choice. And so there was not a decision to go all in. There was a decision we're just going to do a little bit that we can just to hold it back. And so there was not a determination, a will to stand up and say, this far and no farther. And because of that, not of their own fault, but many people of the Vietnam era are looked down upon. They would never receive the honor that they should have received for going over and spilling their blood for us. But yet that era becomes kind of a shameful time that we don't want to remember in our history, because we did not go all in. But we held back. And because of that, today we are paying a lot of the price because of that in the Middle East and in the Asian area, because we did not make that decision. So we today, in a spiritual sense, we need to begin to understand that your destiny is going to be decided by the choice that you make. Are we willing to go all in? Could you imagine what it would look like if we as a church went all in for God? Can you imagine what it would look like if every person here decided to, I'm going to light my life on fire for God. Come what may, I'm going to do what's right. I know the things I've been holding back on, but I'm going to do it for God. Can you imagine what would happen in this community if we truly, fully committed to God and say, God, you work in me all you want. Could you imagine what could happen? I think you know what could happen. I think you know that in your life you are not fully burning for God. And I speak for myself. I know we need to step further in. Could you imagine if we went full in for God in our homes, in our finances, in our jobs, in our comfort for others, in our compassion? What would it look like if a church went all in for God? I mean, fully faithful. I mean, no more excuses. I know no more justifying away while why God only gets part of my life and these other things. And we finally got a view of what was truly important. What would that mean to our children, to our grandchildren? Because we understand that we are appeasing our grandchildren and our children. Are we truly raising them up in the true fear and admonition of the Lord? Or are we teaching them that God is important to part of the list of things in life? What would it look like if we went all in for God? We are so afraid of them missing out on some things, and then they might be mad at me because they didn't have the opportunity. How are they going to feel when they stand before God and they look back at us and say, why did you not separate me from these things? Why did you not instill within me a fear of God instead of the activities and things that we are doing? You see, we are standing on a choice of what are we choosing to say to the world is more important to us than anything else. I think we're saying some things, but it's not what God would want. Yes, I'm talking a radical change than a Christian gospel. I'm talking the full gospel. I'm talking what Jesus talked, because here's the words of Jesus. You need to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. You see, we've turned that into you need to come to church whenever you can and when it's not inconvenient and read your Bible and go through motions, call yourself a Christian. It's nowhere near what Jesus said. Jesus stood before the rich young ruler and said, I want you to go and sell everything you have and come and follow me, because I know that in your heart, that has a hold on you. He wasn't telling everyone you need to give everything away, but for those that are hooked in that. And it said that he walked away sad because he couldn't make that decision. We need to come back to a radical call of going all in for God. And we got to make that decision. Are we going to be like that rich young ruler that walks away sad because we're not able to make that decision? Those before us have made that decision. And so, for the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of those that we mentioned in that list and see what it costs. So quickly, just as a reminder, 1 Chronicles opens with a list of genealogies. There's a lot of places in the Bible that has lists of genealogy. Do you ever wonder why does it have all these things? The most boringest things. How do you even read through it? And you're kind of like, what's the point? You get to those parts in the Bible and you kind of just start skimming because it's like, it's not really telling me anything. And it's so hard to read because it's just a list of names. 1 Chronicles chapter 1 opens with this, the genealogy of Adam. It says Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth. And then it begins to tell me the sons of Japheth, who were Gomer and Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tiras. And the sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz and Dephath and Togarmah. And the sons of Javan were Elisha and Tarshishish and Kittim and Radamim. And it goes on and on. But there is a point there that as we see in the Word of God, we need to know that God is not just concerned with great bodies of people, but God knows the name of every person here. That you are a name in a list of consequences, a list of choices. As we read each name, it's not just a name, it's a decision that led to a consequence. And with every one, including your life, your decision is going to make a difference. You see, the decision to go all in determines not just your destiny, but those around you and those that you are going to affect. Because can you imagine when we get to verse 4 there, Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. Today we look at Noah. What if Noah had not decided to go all in for God? You know what? The rest of that whole chapter, and actually the rest of the Bible, would have stopped right there. There would have been no more names. Your name would not show up on the list of humanity. It is only because of Noah's decision to go all in for God that there was a future for us. And I'm here to just say, there is a destiny based on your decision to go all in for God that is either going to continue a list of other people in the kingdom of God, or it's going to stop with you. You may not know who that is. You may not know who is looking at your life in such a way that your decision is going to either cut off their destiny or open up a vista of blessings from generation to generation. You see, Noah was a hinge that led to a multiple blessings of God, even to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus. So let's look at the story of Noah real quick. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, starting with verse 5. Says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And so God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So therefore make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, cover it inside and outside with pitch, and this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width will be 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with a lower, second, and third deck. And behold, I myself am bringing the floodwaters of the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, which is the breath of life. And everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, and you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. And they shall be male and female. Of the birds of every kind and animals of every kind, every creeping thing two of each kind, and will come with you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all the food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. This he did. And so we have the story of Noah. And we know that it goes on that he built the ark. God brought the animals, went into the ark. The flood came. The earth was absolutely destroyed. But Noah was redeemed and secure in God's hand and found life and a new beginning and a restoration of God in his life. But I want to bring you to one statement. It said in verse 6 that the Lord was sorry that he made man, for he was grieved in his heart. It says God was grieved in his heart. I think as we look to God, we think of God as someone that just wants to punish and someone that just wanted to bring judgment and righteousness. But yet it was not that God was upset that they sinned. It was not that, you know what, you're doing so many wrong things that now I'm going to pay the consequence of that. I mean, yes, that was true. But if you notice that before that, the verse said that all of their thoughts were continually on evil. That all they did, in other words, they had no time for God. That they didn't even think of God. They did not even give him time of day. I think what grieved the heart of God was not the sin. Yes, sin grieved his heart, but you know, he knows that we are sinful, and that he at that time knew that that was not going to get taken care of until Christ died for us. So why would he destroy it if it was just the sin in their life? It was not the sin of commission. It was not the sins that they were doing that was grieving his heart. It was the sins of omission that they chose not even to consider God. I think this is what grieved God's heart more than all the sinful, wicked things that they were doing. It was the sin of omission that grieved God's heart more than anything. And I think today, the same thing, it's not that God is so upset with your sin. It's not that God is going to punish you for what you're doing. He is grieved because we have not been willing to step in to a surrender to God, to give him all that we are, to even acknowledge who he is. It is the sins of omission in our life. It's the fact that we put God in a box and we say, God, I have time for you here, but not here. That is what grieves God's heart. The fact that we are part-time Christians, that we are complacent, that we are comfortable just going through the motions. That is what grieved the heart of God. And yet we focus more on the sins. I need to just stop doing bad. When God says, no, you need to just start seeking me fully. I don't care. The sins will take care. If you are seeking me, if you are willing to go all in for me, I'll cover the sins. But it's the sins of omission. What are you omitting in your life? What are you leaving God out of? What are you choosing not to do? What do you tell God, no, I'm not going to, I don't want to do that? That is what's grieving God's heart. It's the things that are keeping you from going all in. It's those things that have hooks in you. It's the things that we read about earlier that ensnare us. But it said Noah walked with God. Was Noah perfect? No. Now, it called him perfect, but the word perfect there is a word of holiness, that he was set apart from the rest of the world. He had his sin, and we know that later on. We see it. But he sought God with his heart, similar to David, similar to all those people that we read in Hebrews. They had their faults, they're broken, they're weak, we are too. But are you willing to seek God with all your heart? Noah walked with God. Noah cared about what God thought. And that's why Noah found grace with God. Are we willing to face the errors of omission in our life? Are we willing? Usually we don't want to admit that because we don't really want to face it because there's going to be a cost. to become truly faithful. Faithful is a very dangerous word in our life. We liked it. It sounds good, but to truly become faithful, in fact, the Bible even says a faithful man is hard to find. Are we truly willing to go all in for God? It says that Martin Luther sometimes would spend 6 hours a day not praying, but simply confessing to God. Just simply overlooking his life and saying, God, forgive me there. Oh, God, and forgive me there. And God, I need to improve here. God, I'm sorry. Of inspection and repentance. I think we need to spend that time beginning to say, God, shine your light upon my life. What have I been leaving out? What have I not been willing to do because it's going to hurt me? Because it's going to hurt my pride? Man, God, if I follow what I know you want me to do, if I really did what's right, then I'm going to look low. And it's going to embarrass me. And it might put me down. Really? And that's what's keeping you back from God? That is going to be the very weight that you hold on to while you're drowning in the justice of God, because we were not willing to bow before God. So what is it going to take to go all in for God? Three things, and we're just going to list them off because they're very simple. If we are going to walk with God like Noah did and go all in for God, first thing we have to understand, for Noah to find wholeness with God, for Noah to find redemption, for Noah to find security and a new beginning, first of all, it took a lot of work. You know, we don't always think about this with Noah. A lot of work. Not praying, not meditating, reading God, okay, God, no spirituality of it. Hard work. He had to build a boat by himself. And I don't know how good of workers his sons were. Sometimes, how many know our sons are not always good helpers? Now, these guys are the best. But it took a lot of hard work. Serving God is not all spiritual. Sometimes serving God is sweat and blood and getting out and working. It is providing for our family. It's doing what's right. It's hard work. To go all in for God sometimes is a lot of work. Many times that's what keeps us from going, God. God hates a lazy person. That does not give a testimony to God in this world. To be faithful to God means a lot of work. We need to be willing to work for God. We need to be willing to put it into practice. To make a life that stands for what's right and to stand by it. But not only did it take a lot of work, but it took a lot of time. It said that it took Noah 120 years. You know what? A lot of us, we'll commit. Oh, I'm going to commit to God. I'm going to work hard. First of all, have you found your work? You know, we could use it at the church. Find a place to work. Would you like to learn how to do the multimedia? Would you like to do it? You know, come work. Sometimes it's going to take work. Are we going all in for God, or do we come and just let other people serve us? But not only work, it takes a lot of time. Are you willing to commit to God for 120 years straight? Noah took him 120 years. We just like to live that long. But he was willing. See, we've lost the idea of commitment. It's not just one morning on a Sunday every so often. See, we have no concept of the time, of being faithful. It takes a lot of time to go all in for God. Are you willing to give God all of your time until he says, okay, now's the time? Until that first raindrop fell, Noah was busy. We have got to understand, it takes all, there's no retirement. There's no time that, okay, now you can just take time off. To truly be all in for God, it says, God, however long it takes, I'm working. I'm faithful. I'm going to give it to you. It took a lot of time. Noah understood that it was not just for the next 2 weeks. Okay, I'll give you everything I got, God, for 2 weeks. No, it's a lifetime. I'm sorry, no turning back. It's a lot of time. We've got to understand that. But it's worth it. There is coming a time the world is going to be destroyed. We've got to put in the time because in that we receive the blessing. The final thing, it took a lot of work, it took a lot of time, and it took a lot of complications. Have you thought about this? This complicated Noah's life. It was not just, I'm just going to follow you, God. I'm just going to walk with you, God, and everything's going to be just a spiritual joyride. No, there was complications. People made fun of him. People, I'm sure, and we don't know, there is no story of people making fun of them. I say that in assuming. I mean, people think it's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It just simply says that he was a preacher of righteousness, and we know that a lot of people didn't turn to God. In fact, no one did. So there had to be some people that mocked him a little bit. His life became complicated. He's having to take care of all these animals. It became inconvenient. He had to do things when it wasn't the way he wanted it to be. It was probably a little smelly. We don't know how far in advance the animals came. I'm sure he had to take care of them even before the rain. Things didn't go his way. Are we willing to be inconvenienced? Many times we follow God all the way up to the point to where now it's inconvenient. Okay, God, I have given you so much. Yeah, we do that real big. So much. You know, if we compare our list for all that we gave God and all that God does for us, it would not be much. And yet we think we've given God so much. And yet we've only given him up to the point to where it was inconvenient for us. He was willing to take a lot of complications, inconveniences. When it became inconvenient, did he stop working on the ark? No. He didn't know when the rain was coming. He had to get that done. Guys, our life is not complete. When complications inconvenient, you cannot take time off and just say, okay, God, I can't make it this time. Things just don't work out, the schedules and everything. We got to understand there's going to be inconvenience, but we push on. We go all in for God. Are we willing to take the inconveniences? As we begin to go all in for God, we need to ask ourselves, are we willing to commit ourselves to a lot of work, to a lot of time, and to a lot of complications? But let me tell you this. When Noah went all in for God, and it cost him a lot of work, a lot of time, and a lot of complications, I'm going to tell you there was one day when God put, when Noah put a big smile on his face, because all of that work and time and complications was very much appreciated when he got in that boat and all literal hell broke loose around him. And he found the comfort of God's redemption and God's security in the hand of God that led to a new life that he enjoyed. And you don't think that at that time he did not say in his heart, God, anytime, I will gladly pay a lot of work, a lot of time, and a lot of complications for what God brought. Because the option is dog paddling for the next 40 days out in the water, which you're not going to do. We have got to understand, if we want to experience the redemption of God in your life, if you want to see your family move into that place that God has, that security, that hope, that future, there's no other choice, but you've got to start committing yourself to a lot of work, a lot of time, and a lot of complications by going all in for God. Because otherwise, you're outside. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you read and pray the read the Bible and pray and do the spiritual things. If your heart is not seeking God fully and surrendering and moving into his leading and guiding and faithfulness, you're going to be outside. You see, many times you say, but I believe. And Jesus said all we had to do is believe. Here's the definition of believing. A lot of work, a lot of time, and a lot of complications. See, a lot of that we think, no, believing is believing. I just believe. No, it's not. That's a deception. That's a word. That's not believing. If you truly believe, you will surrender your life, you will go all in, and you will begin to make a choice of denying this world, of being different and maybe a little peculiar. People might make fun of you, and you might miss out on some things. You may not be able to do those activities. Sometimes an activity demands too much of us that we need to say, you know what? I have to say no. You know what the problem with us today? We have got to the point where we can't say no. Well, it demands, now I have to do this, but we justify it. But God knows my heart. No, he doesn't. You're making a choice. There are some things you need to say no to. It demands too much because God demands way more. And I would rather pay God's demands than the world's demands. We need to begin to make a decision. The problem is we've been making the wrong decisions. Let's enter into God's redemption. Let's enter into the blessings of God. It will take a lot of work, a lot of time, and a lot of complications. But if you go all in, it is worth it. And we will know God like never before. Let's bow our hearts.